passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Welcome back to the second hour of our show, and it has been dominated by a topic that has been dominating the show for a long time, but probably not much longer. Jim Harbaugh has left. Yay! He's on his way to L.A., and John U. Bacon, what in the world is he going to talk about? The great author and historian, John, great to see you, and it finally happened. How are you doing?
It's kind of like a porcupine's in a room, and then a balloon comes in, and what's going to happen here, right? So sure enough, after 3 years of flirting with the NFL, Harbaugh is off to L.A., of course. I keep on wanting to call them the San Diego Chargers, Paul. I guess they're not the Baltimore Colts anymore either, so I got to catch up. But I'm doing okay. The Michigan fan base is, of course, flipping out a little bit, but not without reason.
Yeah, and I to me it's complicated. There has to be mixed feelings on both sides, but I'm glad he's gone. He's got a good job. That's where he wanted to go. But tell us about where Michigan is right now and what are they contemplating?
Well, Michigan, that part of things is relatively simple, I would say. And the simple part is that Sharon Moore is the obvious heir apparent. He obviously filled in four games last year, beat Penn State, beat Ohio State with Harbaugh's team, granted. Liked and respected by everybody in the building, I'm sure. Ward Manuel likes him, and Jim Harbaugh likes him, perhaps the only thing they ever agreed on. So that's going to be almost a no-brainer. They're asking for a waiver right now to expedite the process to hire him. So there will be no national search. This is going to happen in about 2 or 3 nanoseconds. In that case, any new coach is always a risk, as we know. But bringing a guy from the outside is a risk, but so is bringing a guy with no experience. In this case, you're betting that the culture that they've created here, the winning culture and so on, and the staff you have together is worth keeping together. The odds of doing those two things are both much better with Sharon Moore than an outsider. So that part is relatively simple.
I want you to explain something because, we just saw through watching Alabama go crazy without Saban. So many players left, but, they were enrolled. But it's a little bit different at Michigan, I'm told, because the semester has started. So therefore, it's not as easy for a player to bail out, even though the portal is open.
Oh yeah, Michigan gets out in late April, so they start a few days after January 1st. So these guys are already 1 quarter into their semester, so they're probably not going anywhere. So in that sense, I guess the academics kind of nail you down. They're probably more likely to keep their strength coach Herbert as well as some of the staffers. But I would guess Jesse Minter, the star defensive coordinator, Jay Harbaugh, Jim's son, will be going as well.
Now that it's finally happened, we kept hearing that they were trying to keep him, all these clauses that you have written and talked about. How legitimate do you think that was, knowing that he would be getting an offer from the NFL?
Right. Well, a few ways to break it down, and you're right, it's not simple. One, I would say, Harbaugh's always had an eye on the NFL. He told Jim Hackett that when he took the job in 2014, Jim Hackett being the previous athletic director. So this is not new. As far as that goes, that's possible. Two, Ward Manuel, as we have talked about before, could have fired Jim pretty easily at 2-4 after the 2020 season. Not much pushback there. But then where it gets complicated is Ward had 2 years to re-sign Harbaugh after they cut his pay in half in 2020. After Harbaugh wins a Big Ten title. 2 years, man. Nobody in the SEC waits 2 years. Ohio State does not wait 2 years, not USC, not Oregon. So that part's silly. Clearly he's dragging his feet at that point. As far as the clauses go, one of the things that Harbaugh asked for is not really immunity from the NCAA, but immunity from his athletic director. He didn't trust him to make the judgment on, is it a cheeseburger or is it Sinegate or is it something else? So he asked for a 3-person panel to adjudicate those decisions. That is clearly a sign you do not trust your athletic director. Look, Paul, I don't care how they spin it. These two guys hate each other. And at most other schools, you probably pick the football coach. So that's what happened here.
I just added Ward Manuel to my Christmas card list after you said that.
You might not be alone.
John, I want to get some thoughts. First of all, the schedule next year is absurd. Texas is in the first 2 weeks of the year. The game is at Columbus. But I wanted to ask you about how folks in Michigan are responding to what everyone thought was dead man walking, and that's Ryan Day. And I don't know how they're doing it. I'm sure legally, of course, but they have had quite a haul here in the portal.
I recall a study, by the way, nothing inspires a rival more than his rival's success. And you watch, Ohio State is going to be built for bear, man, ready for bear the next few years. They've loaded the money cannon. They're getting all the players they want already, let alone the long-term recruiting. They already recruited quite well. They already recruited better than Michigan. So that is going to be one heck of a game. J.J. McCarthy is gone, the Michigan's quarterback. This is not Ohio State and Alabama teams that can win a national title with a third-string quarterback. There is no heir apparent here. So honestly, looking at the schedule, looking at what they have coming back, looking at Ohio State, looking at Oregon, Washington, these teams coming in, 8-4 might be entirely reasonable next season. And that's quite a come down for a national title team.
It was also one reason why Jim Harbaugh was so eager to get out, because with the NCAA investigations, that was going to be a problem. Let me end there, because they're dual investigations. Without Harbaugh being on staff, does it mitigate or does it lessen the NCAA zeal to do very much in these two cases?
Look, logically and rationally, I believe you have a law degree. It probably shouldn't, but I don't think that the NCAA and Jim Harbaugh have any love lost between them. So my guess is it might get more soft-pedaled than it would have been before, but who knows? I don't think it's going to do much long-term. I really don't. Who knows? Well, I don't know what they have, to be honest. So we'll see about that. But I don't see Sharon Moore being the lightning rod that Jim Harbaugh could have been with the NCAA. If anything, it'll be softened, not hardened.
So, and finally, John, I saved this for the end because you are a New York Times bestselling author. You've taught, you've written histories. It's a little hard to say now because he just won a championship 2 weeks ago, and everyone loves the winner. But as we move throughout history, how do you think the Harbaugh years are going to be remembered?
That's a great question. We have no perspective yet, but I will say two different ways. One by Michigan fans and one by everybody else. Everybody else, the cheater tag, no matter what they find, is probably going to be stuck to him forever, fairly or not. That will probably resonate through the years. Certainly a lightning rod and obviously a controversial figure nationwide. Internally, I would say nothing but hosannas for Harbaugh locally. And locally, I mean alumni and all that nationwide. Look, he delivered what he promised. The team was 5-7 when he took over. It was a shambles for 7 or 8 years there, and won 3 Big Ten titles, beat the Buckeyes, good Buckeye teams, and won a national title. And that has not happened in 26 years. Before that, 50 years. Again, it's not Alabama. They don't do this every third year. So if nothing else happens for 5 years, I bet the hangover from this one will last plenty long enough for Michigan fans. That said, Paul, I got to tell you, looking at the whole thing, only Michigan can do the hard thing well, win a national title, and do the easy thing, keeping your coach poorly. That's Michigan.
Well, that's why we love them so much. John, always good to have you on. Thank you very, very much. John Ubakin joining us here, the best-selling author and historian and Michigan expert. We will take a break. I have a lot more to unpack. We'll head down to Baton Rouge a little bit later to get ready for the biggest women's game of the year. And back with more after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
A Thursday afternoon. We've had quite a bit already on the program. Let's get some more calls in here. And Susie is up next in Georgia.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you today?
Very well. Thank you, Susie.
I'm just getting ready. I've got my Paul Feinbaum mug, making myself a bourbon mule to enjoy the rest of the show.
Sure. I'll have a double, Randy.
Okay. What is your bourbon preference? What's Randy's bourbon preference?
Randy, what is yours, since I don't drink bourbon?
Oh.
Buffalo what? Trace.
Buffalo Trace?
What's the one I always see on planes people drinking? It's a big name.
Has Randy been to Buffalo Trace?
Woodford. I always hear somebody like next to me ordering that.
Oh, yeah, Woodford Reserve. Oh, yeah, that's fine, Randy.
I'm always tempted to do that, and then I don't really drink.
Has he been to Buffalo Trace?
I have not.
No.
And visited? It's fabulous. I've been 5 times. Joe and I have been. It's great. It's good bourbon.
I've heard of Knob Creek,
that's
too.
That's what I called, though. Yes.
Is that a good one?
Oh, yeah. I haven't tried that.
Okay. I remember somebody when I was in Kentucky recently was telling me about that. We were at some restaurant that was known to be the bourbon capital of all restaurants.
Oh, I need to know that restaurant because Joe and I are going to
This was in Lexington. We were there twice this year.
Well, Berea, Kentucky is near Lexington. I need to know the name of that.
Lexington's a really cool town.
It is. That's where Joe and I meet. It's kind of like halfway
from
him in Michigan.
Does Joe know that you're a regular here?
Oh, yes. And he used to say, and then now he's like, I think you should call Paul and ask him this.
Okay. I just never want to get in the middle of some relationship when you go meet your friend and next thing you know, he hears you talking to Paul. I don't want to be at the... Answer my door one day,
and
it's
Joe. Yeah,
I've
got my picture with Paul, and I got my mug with Paul, and I have my Paul socks. Yeah, no.
I mean, I'm not like some of my colleagues. I'm not like Steve and A. I don't have an entourage around me. Randy and I walk alone.
Oh, well, you walk well alone, both of you. I want to get just a little dig into Iman, because I know he was looking forward to that basketball game last night.
He guaranteed it.
Yes, and so now he's got something else to come and have his stone heart talk about Alabama because they beat him. Sorry, Iman. Before I let you go, I want to give a shout-out because a lot of times some of my students and students I'm subbing, they watch you and their families. So Landon, Burton, Carter, if you're all listening, I want to say hi to you guys. They're 5th grade and 7th grade, and they really enjoy your show. Yeah, and they love it when they see me and say, I heard you. Have you watched any Tennessee basketball, Paul?
Yes. I'm trying to remember what game. I saw one recently. Was it the – yeah, I saw them play Alabama. They were really good.
That connect is something else. The player, I think they got him. His last name is Connect and Ziegler. They're fun to watch. The last I saw, they were 5th. They're ranked 5th. Sorry, Iman.
Yeah, I mean, right now they look like the best team in the SEC.
Yes. Exciting. All right, well, I'll let other kids. It's good to hear your voice. I'm glad you're having a good day. Hi to Randy, Daniel. I talked to Luke today. You've just got mighty fine people working for you.
Thank you, Susie. By the way, we have quite a – we got Luke on this show. We got Paul. We just need Matthew. We used to have Mark and John. I mean, we got – I mean, where's Joe Osteen when you need a shout out? GW is in Austin. Hello, GW.
Hello, Paul. First time caller.
That's great. Good to hear from you.
All right. You know that if it wasn't for the volunteers, it'd be Mexico A&M and University of Mexico at Austin.
That is right.
That is correct. I was just calling to find out what the schedule is for breaking down Longhorn Network. You know, it's basically broke. That was the
I can help you with that. As of after June 30th, that will go away, and Longhorn will be folded into the SEC network.
Okay. Well, it's still, they're going to get a half year's advantage in.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there will still be some digital presence, but what we know now is going to go away.
Okay, good enough. I just want to know what it was.
It certainly
thank you, sir.
Been a standalone for a long time. Jay is up next in Mobile. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Roll Tide, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Paul, I want to give a piece of advice to Bash, if I could.
Please do. He needs a friend desperately, because whoever he is relying on to help him with his calls, failing.
Bash, listen here, young man. There's certain things in your life that you need to keep to yourself. You definitely don't announce it on public television. I mean, come on, man. Anyway, Paul.
Well, you know what gets me about Bash, if I could help him here, is...
Go ahead, Paul.
I mean, have you ever known somebody in your life where every time you see them, they have to, like, go through everything, every grievance?
Oh, the airing.
Yeah, I mean, Bash comes in here... He's got like his sheet of, let's go over what happened. I mean, Bash, today is a new day. Nobody is worried about yesterday.
That's right. That's
you know what he needs to do? And I don't know if he's going to have it this summer or not, but I keep trying to talk Jim from Tuscaloosa into having a Feinbaum caller fantasy camp, kind of like Nick Saban would have his kids camp.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, Jim could make a lot of money because, I mean, he is, after all, the de facto goat of all time.
Well, hey, Paul, on this Harbaugh situation, do you think since Harbaugh left, they're just going to get a slap on the wrist, or do you think they're looking at serious allegations?
I think they're looking at a noodle on the wrist.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Paul, have a good day. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. Thank you, Jay. Stacy is up next.
Paul, what's up, baby? How you doing?
Stacy, how you doing? By the way, Stacy was in charge of keeping Caleb Downs at Alabama.
Well, hey, there's a song out there, Paul, that say, if you want to leave, baby, go ahead and leave. I ain't going to say the rest of it. But anyway, Paul, what I was calling you about, it's opening season right now. I'm not going to call no names, but it's opening season right now. If you would like to be a member of the Alabama Crimson Tide fan base, then you know what you need to do. I ain't going to call no names now. I wanted to put that out there. But I do want to ask you a couple of questions, Paul. What you think about the game last night between the Tide and the Tigers, the Baby Tigers?
I was impressed by Alabama because I kept being told by the experts that Auburn was going to go in there and win.
So when it comes down to rankings, now I do not know this, and maybe you can enlighten me on this. Now when it comes to rankings, Auburn was number 8. So how does that work? Are they going to change? Does it take a couple of weeks?
Well, you have to remember that's based on the entire season. That's not based on Wednesday night in Tuscaloosa.
Okay, got it.
I mean, listen, Auburn went in there and played a great game. They lost, but I think there's still a legitimate NCAA team. I mean, Alabama is too. Alabama's not quite where they were a year ago. They lost many close games, but the one thing I'm impressed with Alabama, they played a brutal schedule early in the year. Creighton, all those other teams, and now those games are paying off.
Right. Well, the last thing I want to ask you, Paul, is this. Now, when it comes down to players flip-flopping and going into the portal, before all of this came about, if I'm not mistaken, coaches were doing the same thing. Am I right?
Well, coaches have always done that. The difference is coaches have – the only difference is coaches, when they leave, they usually – like to get DeBoer, it cost Alabama $12 million. It would have cost $20 million or more, or maybe more, to get Dan Lanning. So, I mean, there are clauses in coaches' contracts – But other than that, they're free to go. They don't have any restriction in terms of the NCAA.
Now, Kalen DeBoer, I'm giving him a chance, like I said before. Mm-hmm. He stood in front of his team in Washington before he left and said, I hope y'all win the national championship. That's what we were set out to do. And I hope y'all win it. I hope you win it. Now, how much truth is that, Paul? Because if he play Washington next year in the college football playoff, then what you think about that?
I'll give him credit, though. Most coaches always get criticized when they don't say goodbye to the team. He did that, and he said what you're supposed to say. But, by the way, he wasn't under oath, okay? That was his team until he got on the plane, and I'm sure he's pulling for them. And by the way, Washington will be a good team. But no, I think he'd probably be pulling for Alabama next year if they play Washington.
Well, let me get a roll, Tide, roll, Paul.
Well, Stacy, that was a wonderful call brought to you by the Yay Alabama Collective. Let's talk to Steve next. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Paul. Everything going good today on the show?
Wonderful.
My question to you, a guy earlier just kind of, I guess, almost asked the same thing on the Nick Dunlap win that he had. With it, even though he's a golf player, or was now at Alabama, how come he didn't get the money with NIL being out there?
Well, but by the way, it really has nothing to do with college. When you enter a PGA tournament event, you have to declare yourself beforehand, and he declared himself on the application. I think he was invited. I'm not really sure how he got in, but he entered the tournament as an amateur. And you can't change your mind. It's only happened it's happened about three or four other times, and it's just it's more of a PGA policy than it is. He wanted to retain his eligibility at Alabama. What if he had shot 85 in the first round and missed a cut? He didn't know he was going to win.
But I totally understand that. And even though he entered as a amateur, that's
right.
Fine too. It should be fine. Crazy Phil was the last one to do it. But my argument is, that's money that he could have won and should have won because of NIL.
Again, it's really not an NCAA issue. It's a PGA Tour issue. If he had declared before the tournament that he's giving up his amateur status, he could have gotten $1.5 million. But he was never going to do that because the odds of him winning that tournament were astronomically weighted against him. Hey, thanks for the call. I'm glad he won, but I don't want to make light of what he didn't win, but I bet he's already made that money back up by signing endorsement deals. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we are back. Great to have all of you with us here on a overcast, rainy, ugly, late winter day. But a happy day if you're not a Jim Harbaugh fan. What's that? He's here? Jim is here? Jim Harbaugh or Jim from Tuscaloosa?
Hey, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Well, good afternoon, Jim.
Well, I got to respond to you, Paul.
Okay.
It's funny. I was talking to Jeff about an hour ago. No, not that long ago. And I said, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about this, fantasy football. It's not fantasy, but a reality football caller, or a sports show, talk show caller camp that he wants me to do. Been asking me for about 10, 12 years.
Yeah, I have.
And I said, let me tell you what's funny about it. I said, Jeff, here's the deal. I said, you know, Feinbaum announced about an hour ago when he was talking about Saban. He said, you know, Saban probably and more likely, no, he was sick of the NIL or whatever you call it. He said he was probably headed to, before he even played in the Rose Bowl, probably headed out there. He had mothers in his face that saying, what are you going to give my boy? Why? He needs a million. And blah, blah. And Saban finally probably said, you know what? I got me a house down yonder. I can have parties with the boys. I can have a good time, relax. Terry can have a good time. We can relax. And what in the world? Why would I want to mess with this crap anymore? Well, Paul, you were funny. That's exactly what I feel about the collar camp. Why would I want to mess with a moron like Bash? You can't. You know what old saying? You can't teach. You can't make chicken salad out of chicken ass. And
right.
It ain't salad I'm talking about. You know what? You know what I'm
well,
saying.
Well, but Jim, see, you're. I mean, again, you're right. I mean, this is my instigation, but. I just think if you would, everyone wants to help
end
young people.
End the argument, Paul. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't take $12 million that Saban made to mess with people like these guys. These are.
So Jim, I mean, we're talking about Bash. We're talking about.
Yeah, I know. You're talking about Bash. He's probably better than the rest of them. You got no callers in it. You got to put an ad in the paper, either hire your pallbearers for your funeral, whenever that comes up, or more importantly, probably hire some more. Callers like me.
By the way, did Randy call you? I am choosing my pallbearers.
Yeah, I didn't have time for him.
I wanted you to be the lead. I wanted you to give the eulogy and be a pallbearer. Any chance? I guess you're not going to do it.
No, I'd be a pallbearer.
Okay.
No, I do owe you something.
You would probably show up just to make sure it's real.
No. I wouldn't be happy about it. I wouldn't be happy about it.
Okay. Well, anyway, but back to the fantasy camp. I'm thinking, who would be the best candidates for Jim's first fantasy camp? We got Bash, AJ.
The whole show.
You're right. We'll just put the whole show on a truck.
Even the guy from Montgomery needs some help now. He's always talking about me yesterday.
He does. You're right.
I mean, he's really gone off the deep end.
Jim, you know what's sad? That there was a time when we didn't need a Jim from Tuscaloosa fantasy camp.
No, that's right. You didn't about 10, 12 years ago, especially when you had Shane, me, on and on.
We had you. We had Bobby from Homewood. Remember him?
Oh, Bobby from Homewood was that. Bobby from Homewood, he's one of the most interesting callers I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, great. I had Shane, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Jim from Crestwood. Charles from Realtown.
Now, you know what? I didn't like Jim from Crestwood because he was jealous of me. He was always trashing me.
He was jealous of you.
But let me tell you, I liked his calls because he could handle you, Paul. He could flat out handle you. It was funny. He had funny, good calls.
He was.
Right.
I mean, Jim. I mean, I remember Rush Limbaugh. He used to say that he had one hand tied behind his back, but to make it fair,
he could out talk them all with one hand.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be challenged here. I mean, I do, but
You can't get no challenge out of these.
I mean, when I see Bash, when it's matching wits with Bash, I mean, it's like arguing with a newborn.
No, it's worse than that. It's just pathetic. It's really pathetic. But I'm telling you, if you need to do what you did, told me you did about 10 years ago when I told you you ought to listen to the show and be in your car. You need to get in your car and listen to your show. And then you say,
Jim, Jim, you and me talking here, there's no chance I'd ever listen to this show. It would be horrifying to me. I mean, I couldn't do it.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Paul. Great call, Paul.
You're right. Well, thank you, Jim. I don't want to ruin a good call.
That's right. Don't do it. I see. Okay.
I mean, I don't know about you. I mean, I know this is going to sound crazy, but don't you, Randy, yearn from those good old days when we were back on an AM signal, and everything was great.
The calls were
unbelievable. We didn't have any of the things that we have now. Good old days. Whatever happened to them? Man.
Started doing TV.
Yeah, started doing. Here's what happened. We went to work for ESPN. And ESPN is a great show.
That's right.
They always do that. Yeah, I should have stayed where I was, where Jim called in 15 times an hour. Let's, Reese is up next in Alabama. Hello, Reese.
Hey, Paul. A year ago today, I gave you a call asking about Auburn's win total. I claimed 9 wins. We were not anywhere near that, but we were a few plays from getting there. I'm also going to be a lot more mellow than your buddy Jim from Tuscaloosa, but I just want to get a rundown from you. What do you realistically expect from you in year two? Because I'm thinking 9 wins. He's got that in him. But let's hear it from you, Paul.
Yeah, I need to study the schedule a little bit more than I have to this moment, but I think the first part of the schedule is pretty manageable, if I remember it correctly, and we're going to put it up on the screen and look at it together. Nothing in the first 4 games Auburn can't handle. Oklahoma at home, that's an opportunity to win. I mean, I think Auburn very well could be 3-3. They could be 6. They could be 5-1 heading into the open date. I see 2-3. I don't see any more than 8 wins right now.
Not more than 8 wins.
No.
Okay. Well, on another note, what do you think? Do you think Peyton Thorne is the guy for the Tigers, or do you think Q should head out to the portal this spring and find another guy?
I would definitely go out. I would definitely look for another guy, and whether he finds one or not, I don't know. But I could. I think Thorne's serviceable.
Serviceable.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all for me, Paul. But War Eagle.
Okay. Thank you. War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Whoa, Eagle. Chris is up next in Georgia. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Paul. How are you? Big
We're doing
fan,
great.
Second time caller.
Thank you.
Paul, first of all, these iconic coaches leaving, Saban and then Harbaugh, what's really driving them out? I just want your response there.
Well, I think those two are different. I mean, Saban left, I think, because he's at an age where he had nothing more to prove. Harbaugh has something to prove, but it wasn't in college football. He didn't want to be a lifer. Let's not forget, Harbaugh was very successful in the NFL. When you get to a Super Bowl and you have a chance with 2 minutes to go in the Super Bowl to win, you never let that never leaves you, and he resurrected his alma mater. I think he felt like there wasn't anything left to do because Michigan wins national championships about every 30 or 40 years, and with an offer to go to LA to coach a franchise that he once played for, with a generational quarterback, I don't think he could turn that down.
Yeah, a lot of young talent there. You know, Ohio State's got to be loving all of this. They see Nick Saban leave. They see Harbaugh leave. They go out and steal Caleb Downs, and they get other players. Not steal, but they do what they have to do.
That's exactly what they did.
Sure they did. But they do what they have to do to compete.
Steal would be a rob might be a better word.
It might be. Well, they position themselves for good things, and they really have to be feeling very good about things after some bad years to get back on top, because having Harbaugh leave and having not the threat of Nick Saban. But I want to ask you about the Big Ten alignment, the new Big Ten with Oregon, Washington come in. What are your thoughts on the new alignments of these conferences, these super conferences? And then I'll let you go after that, Paul. Love you.
Thank Nothing you, Chris. I think the Big Ten is going to be phenomenal. I really do. I mean, you're talking about adding Oregon and Washington, which one was a playoff team, one was a couple of plays away from being a playoff team. And then you bring in the California schools. UCLA is not great, but it's also not – I mean, you see UCLA on the schedule, and it means something. SC is the mystery. That was the big name when they joined 2 years ago, and now I don't know what that program's all about, was doing. The SEC has two less teams, but I think the impact of Oklahoma and Texas is equal to those four. But anybody who chuckles about the Big Ten, I mean, the middle and bottom of the Big Ten is horrible. I don't want to see a lot of those schools on my TV, but the top five, six, Penn State included, it's a big-time league. Thank you for the call. We head to the break. We are back with much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And Renard is up next, calling from Mississippi. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
And go ahead.
No, I'm glad you called. Thank you.
All right. I want to talk about the NFL. I think that the Atlanta Falcons, should just get off their butt and pay Bill Belichick to come to that team and turn this thing around. I'm tired of all these losing teams. You know, we got some good players, but they need a coach that can motivate those guys and get.
Yeah, you know, Renard, as you called in, the story just broke that they have hired the defensive coordinator of the Rams, Raheem Morris. So it looks like Bill Belichick has struck out. Just an unbelievable ending to his career as a coach. The favorite to get the Falcons job. Are there any other openings left? Three went one. Chargers last night. The Falcons. The Panthers. I don't think he's going unless Kansas City. Unless Andy Reid decides to retire, and that may be his last shot. It pretty unbelievable that he could not get a job. I mean, you're talking about the greatest coach in NFL history.
Yeah, that kind of upsets me, because I don't know. I know the Falcons were interviewing him.
Yeah, they interviewed him twice. The word was that Arthur Blank wanted to hire him, but all the goobers that worked for him did not want Belichick around, because he would probably wipe out the whole player personnel staff.
That's probably what they need.
Well, the Panthers hired the offensive coordinator from the Bucks. The NFL is now very much a coordinator's league. You don't see head coaches being hired much anymore.
Yeah, well, that's a shame.
And by the way, Renard, there's also a reason why. I'll say this about Bill Belichick. Everybody talks about Saban going into TV. Bill Belichick is going to be an unbelievable television analyst if he decides to do it. He's probably funnier than Saban. He's got a dry sense of humor that I've seen a couple of times. And I think that's where he's going to end up. But I think the Falcons blew it by not I agree with you on that. Thank you for the call. Jaden is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Jaden.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
I was calling to talk about the Tennessee's new recruit, the quarterback for 2025. How do you think he'll help that recruiting class and bring in some good five stars into the team?
Yeah, I think Tennessee's in great position at that with the recruit. And, of course, Nico will be the starter. And I frankly think that is a, once again, a strong position for Tennessee after last year when Joe Milton clearly underperformed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I think that if George redshirts, then he'll have a few good years to play. And you never know if Nico has a injury that maybe will allow George.
No, I agree. They also didn't they get a commitment from George McIntyre?
They did. That's what I'm speaking of.
Yeah, right now. I'm sorry. That's why I did. George. I was out with a group of people in Nashville at the beginning of the season. One of the people I was with had just taken Heupel. We were there for the Tennessee-Virginia game. He had just taken Heisel. I think it's Brentwood out to see George McIntyre, who's this,
yep,
the son or grandson of the famous coach, and he's a big stud. You're right about that. We'll be back.
Oh yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Watch the Paul Feinbaum Show weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on the SEC Network. Plus, you can listen and watch on the ESPN app.